This is Faith Radio Mornings with Ted and PK, and this week we thought it would be appropriate to have on a special guest because this week is National Eating Disorders Week. We want to bear to light the eating disorder and what this looks like and how it can maybe take on a few different faces, if you will. I want to welcome to our conversation this morning Lee Wolf Bloom. She's a health educator at the Melrose Center for Eating Disorders in St. Louis Park, Minnesota, and she has also co-authored curriculum that's called Running on Empty. It's targeted at schools and small groups as well. And the book is called Table in the Darkness. Good morning, Lee.
Good morning. Yes, and Table in the Darkness is actually the memoir that I wrote.
It's your own story. So you yourself struggled with an eating disorder and are now ministering to people based on your experience. Was that difficult? I can't imagine coming out of kind of the shame that gets associated with this disorder.
Absolutely. It was never in my intention to work in the field or write a book, but God obviously had another plan and really kept putting it on my heart to share that people can recover from an eating disorder and depression and any other sort of mental illness. I think in the church often we don't talk about it enough, and I wanted to get my story out there so people could have some hope.
Was it difficult, too, as a Christian? Because then you add another layer to that, I think, because it's like, well, we should be able to pray this away. I think you had gotten even advice that way, right?
Absolutely, yes. And you know what I don't think people realize is that people who are experiencing psychological distress, the first person they go to is usually a clergy or a pastor, you know, and so that's who they go to, but oftentimes we get the wrong messages and we can wound people by using scripture to put a Band-Aid on something that actually needs some professional help. It is an illness, and you know, you would never say to somebody who broke their arm, well, if you could just pray about it, then you'll be healed.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
I'm not saying that praying about it is absolutely necessary, but you also need to seek help as well.
Sure. Well, if you don't mind, can you just briefly take us through your story? When did you start struggling with food issues?
I started struggling when I went to college. That's where it really hit me. I wasn't sure how to eat in college. College felt so overwhelming. I didn't know who I was. I didn't know where I fit in. But really, it wasn't about the food. It was more, I started experiencing early signs of deep depression. And this was in the 90s, and there wasn't a lot of information then about depression. And so I started to cope by restricting what I was eating. I didn't want to feel. And so instead, I started, you know, really controlling what I was doing and what I was eating. It also kind of helped, you know, being a Christian, because I had this kind of deep desire to just be perfect. It didn't make any sense, but it helped. I thought if I could just try harder, if I could be better, then I would feel good enough for me and for God. And it led me to a very dark place.
Because how much can you really do to be any more accepted by the Lord? And yet we feel
right.
like we have to work and work and work at this thing.
Right.
How long did this go on then? Because it can be kind of rewarding if you lose a pound or you lose 5 pounds or somebody says that you look thin. It continually
right.
feeds into that whole thing where you're like, okay, the control's working. Food is the enemy. I will not eat again.
Right, exactly. And what makes me sad now is that, you know, when you think about it, food and going to the table with other people is supposed to be a really wonderful experience. And what happens when you start to control your food is you start to isolate and you start to not want to be with others. And so for me, it was a good 2 years that led me basically on my deathbed in the intensive care unit where I realized this isn't working.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is killing me. And the thing that I think is really important for people to understand is that nobody chooses to have an eating disorder. It is a mental illness. But recovery is a choice. Recovery is something you do every day and choose to do something different. And so I really had to start believing that what God said about me was true and that I needed to make different choices and trust that He did have a plan for me, that He did actually love me, and that controlling my life wasn't going to get me anywhere.
So once you got to that point of realizing then that, you know, you needed help, you had to cry out for help and invite others into your struggle and your journey. What do you advise for people that are at that point? How can they let somebody else in?
You know, that's the hardest part. You find yourself so stubborn and you think, I think a lot of people think, oh, I can just do it on my own. And there's so much shame and stigma surrounding something like depression or mental illness. And so it was very difficult for me, but I had to reach out. And in reaching out, God provided the most amazing people. And I always love to say that they were Jesus with skin on, you know, who came around me and helped me through. I had to ask people for help constantly. And so I would encourage anyone who's struggling to not be ashamed, you know, to not be afraid and ashamed. There are 20 million women struggling with an eating disorder and 10 million men. It's not something that's not happening. It's an epidemic. And so if you're struggling, I really encourage you to talk to somebody and then go seek some help, because, you know, we're not living to our full potential when we're really deep in a struggle like that. And if we're not receiving help, we can't be the people who God created us to be. We can't live in our full potential.
And our culture does nothing to really help that. When you look at the continual modeling issue, when everybody is being Photoshopped now, and I'm glad that some of these pictures are coming out where they're showing what they're Photoshopping, even on these gorgeous models.
Right.
They're not
right.
even realistic. How can we combat that? Because we're just always told that we should be thinner.
Right. You know, and I always say it's just like Turkish Delight in, you know, C.S. Lewis's Lion, Witch, and the Wardrobe. You know, it's this pull, this Turkish delight, you know, oh, if you just lose a few pounds, if you're thinner, this is going to be success, this is what's going to get you what you want, and it never satisfies. And I would love to see the culture and the churches just embracing people and loving people in a way that helps them with their mental illness, helps provide help for them, and then also, you know, turning the other way in terms of the way the culture is going. Mm-hmm. You can be a very good critical viewer of the media, which I am. I often don't watch shows that do that. I don't read the magazines. I sometimes have been known to turn magazines over in the aisle because I get so angry.
Mm-hmm.
But we're providing this culture for these young girls that's really unrealistic. We have this thin ideal. And then on the opposite side, we have a lot of fat shaming, and it's creating this really unhealthy culture for young women.
Mm-hmm, I agree.
We're talking with Lee Wolf Bloom here on Faith Radio Mornings. She's a health educator at the Melrose Center for Eating Disorders. That's in St. Louis Park, Minnesota. And she's also author of the book Table in the Darkness. It's a healing journey through an eating disorder, her own story, her own memoir. And when we come back, she mentioned the magazines there on the rack that we want to turn over. The Sports Illustrated swimsuit issue is all in the news right now. It's being talked about often, and sadly, this is a big part of the culture. And after a quick break, I want to ask her about that and how Barbie is even a part of this, too. That'll be coming up next here on Faith Radio Mornings.
Radio Mornings with Ted and PK, and our guest this morning is Lee Wolf Bloom. She's a health educator at the Melrose Center for Eating Disorders in St. Louis Park, Minnesota, and has written her own memoir called Table in the Darkness. It's a healing journey through an eating disorder. And Lee, talk a little bit, if you would. I know that you've written a blog on this, but, you know, it's one thing to have Sports Illustrated, and even on Facebook, the pictures that are popping up there, I'm sending them notes saying this is inappropriate.
Yes.
But now we have Barbie, and they've taken Barbie, and they're going to be adding her to the lineup of babes that are part of the Sports Illustrated issue. How do you feel about that?
I am furious. You know, when you look at the research, the National Eating Disorders Association has a bunch of research out that shows that 4 out of 5 10-year-olds say they're afraid of being fat.
Mm-hmm.
And then you put this image of Barbie, which is an unrealistic image, and you're plastering it everywhere as kind of an ideal. And we're sending a message to these young girls. That's their toy. And now we're sending this message like, you have to grow up and be like this. And it's very disturbing. In one sense, you need to understand, and people need to understand that, eating disorders aren't caused by the media. Eating disorders are caused by a mixture of things, one being a predisposition to addictive behavior, another being a culture that idealizes thinness, and then the third being a life that's sometimes out of control, and that pulls the trigger for an eating disorder. But the media is not helping this in any way by mm-hmm. promoting this, showing these images in the Sports Illustrated with this unrealistic image of a woman. And is this what young girls have to aspire to be? It breaks my heart.
Yeah, I have friends who, for years, when their children were little, they would not even allow Barbie in the house, let alone now right. that Barbie has gone to this unapologetic level
right.
as
yeah.
the hashtag is now being slapped on this whole fierce independence, I guess, that we can wear the swimsuits and we can do this because it's who we are as women. But still, we're being objectified, so... It's crazy.
Objectification in a way, and the fact that they call it unapologetic,
mm-hmm.
Is basically they're trying to stir the pot, and they're doing a great job of it.
and hurting themselves. It's so backwards.
And then Target is actually going to have these exclusive Barbie dolls that people can buy that were shown on the cover of the Sports Illustrated. And I guess I would just encourage people to talk openly with their daughters, talk openly about it, talk about their bodies and what they're made to do, and that bodies come in all shapes and sizes. And this is not reality. And hopefully these young girls don't have to look at that.
Yeah.
Don't have to see their dad's Sports Illustrated issue with their toy on the front of it.
Mm-hmm. And innocently for grandparents even to know about that so that they don't think, well, this is cool, this is a collector's item, and then mm-hmm. they buy
right.
it for their grandchildren, that sort of thing, too. It's really not a message we want to send to Target, I guess, that we
right.
approve of that.
Right, exactly. And, my encouragement is just that people can talk about this and just really, if this is something that their child is struggling with, maybe this will be an opportunity. God loves to use things like this for good.
Mm-hmm.
And so my hope and prayer is that God uses this in a way that maybe opens dialogue for people who are maybe have somebody at home who's struggling, and maybe they can get some help.
Mm-hmm.
So turning this around instead of, it being such a negative thing, maybe some good can come out of this, and that we have this dialogue about unrealistic expectations of women. Only 1% of the population is born with a body type like a supermodel.
Mm.
So this is unrealistic.
And even the supermodels don't look like the supermodels.
Right.
Right. Only 1% are born with that. The rest
right.
are working very hard to do that, or they're being photoshopped.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Lee Wolf Bloom again is joining us here on Faith Radio Mornings, and her book is called Table in the Darkness. It's a healing journey through an eating disorder. It's a memoir of hers, and we appreciate her time today. So, Lee, if somebody we love, maybe it's a daughter, maybe it's a brother, a sister, a colleague at work even, if we suspect that they're struggling with an eating disorder, how do we broach that topic with them?
I would say you definitely talk about the elephant in the room, and then use language such as, I notice this, instead of coming at them and saying, you look like you've lost weight or you are not eating, come at them and say, I notice that you are quieter, or I notice that you're not going out with your friends anymore. I notice, and say it that way, and then say how it hurts you. So you say, I notice you're not coming to lunch with me anymore, and that makes me sad. I notice that you're skipping meals, and it makes me worried about you. Instead of coming at somebody attacking them, that never usually works,
mm-hmm.
It's better to come gently but firmly, and then respond with, hey, let's go together. How can I help you get some help? Let's do this together. Because it does no good when you confront somebody and then leave them hanging.
Sure.
Be a friend and walk alongside them and help them get some help. And my encouragement to the churches is to start really talking about this issue, to start working alongside mental health professionals in tandem so that we can really work towards wholeness and be the people that God has created us to be.
Yeah, and as we talked about earlier, it's important for us as believers to not come at somebody that's struggling with, you know, that aspect of it, to say, well, why don't you just pray about this more or anything
right.
like that. It's important to just come alongside them and walk with them through this journey.
Right, and especially somebody in depression, to not say to them, well, you know, if you would just be happier or be positive, that's, you know, depression is a mental illness and mm-hmm. there's something going on in their brain, and that only shames them and makes them feel worse.
Lee, can you spend a moment to talk about why it's so important to address the issue, because it affects so many different areas of
right.
our life. If you know somebody that's going through it, it's physical, mental, emotional, and
yeah.
spiritual. Talk about what happens if you let that go.
Well, the end result is death, and you know, I have actually unfortunately had people that I've known who have died from an eating disorder. It interrupts your life, your relationships. You can't eat at tables with people anymore. You're not able to experience the fullness that life has for you. So it's horrible.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it destroyed for me my eating disorder, destroyed my life. I lost relationships. I had no job. I lost relationships with my family members. And then spiritually, I felt like I wasn't good enough for God. And that was a really dark, dark place to be. And so we need to, as a church, we need to talk about this issue and not shame people and not use spirituality in a way that that tries to put a Band-Aid on it. Instead, we need to really talk about this and not be ashamed of it. Whether it's alcoholism, drug abuse, eating disorders, or depression, you know, these are very prevalent in our society, and they're happening in the church. And I would love to see us being more open about it and talking about it and getting people help. And I can honestly tell you, in my own life, on the other side of an eating disorder, it's beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I have an appreciation for life because of what I went through that I never would have had. And God has really brought it full circle, and I would never go back to that dark place. And so I just want people to understand, when they're in that dark place, that there is hope. And you can get to the other side, but you've got to have people around you helping you. You cannot do it alone.
Yeah.
And talk just quickly, too, if you would, about your curriculum and how that can be helpful to churches and small groups, too.
I wrote this curriculum in conjunction with where I work at the Melrose Center. And we wrote it specifically because in schools, oftentimes, people will come in and talk about food and nutrition. And sometimes that can have a negative response for kids, because then they think some foods are bad,
mm-hmm.
and they start not eating them, and then it leads to very extreme restriction. One of the biggest prevention factors for eating disorders and other addictions is teaching young kids coping skills, teaching them how to understand their own emotions. And so this curriculum, what it does is it has all of these forms that teachers can use and pull out to talk to kids, hey, how are you feeling when this happens? And so the more we can work on teaching kids to understand their own emotions, the less likely they will be to reach for an alternative substance to deal with their emotions. And so if we can get them young and start really talking to them about that instead of the nutrition piece. Now, the nutrition piece is important, but
mm-hmm.
but really getting them young and saying, you know, how are you feeling? How does that make you feel? What do you feel inside? What do you want to say? And so that's what this curriculum does, and it's been wonderful for schools and small groups to be able to really attack this issue before it gets worse.
Yeah, that curriculum, again, is called Running on Empty, and we'll have links for that, as well as the book Table in the Darkness, A Healing Journey Through an Eating Disorder, by our guest, Lee Wolf-Bloom. All the links will be up at our website at myfaithradio.com. Lee, we appreciate your time. God bless you in your ongoing ministry.
Oh, thank you so much.